House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February the 5th, 2015, the 18th day of the session. Pending deadlines. This Friday, February the 6th, last day for bills to be reported out of committee in the House of Origin. That means committee chairmen have to have all the bills out that are coming out by tomorrow evening. And Monday, next Monday, February the 9th, is the last day for committee of the whole in the House of Origin. So we either process these bills through committee of the whole by Monday or they die. I think if we manage our time well and if we have a proper amount of debate, I think we can get through all the bills. And I would remind you once again, sometimes instead of tying up time in committee of the whole, you could consider doing it with the second reading amendment, which would free up more time in committee of the whole for other bills. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen,
here.
Baker,
here.
Baldwin,
here.
Barlow,
here.
Berger,
here.
Blackburn,
here.
Blake,
here.
Burkhart,
here.
Bird,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Kennedy,
here.
Clem,
here.
Connolly,
here.
Dayton,
here.
Edmonds,
here.
Edwards,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Greer,
here.
Halverson,
here.
Harshman,
Harvey, here.
Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey, excused. Petroff, Piperinen, Pennell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, 59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by Pastor Ernest Fitzhugh, representing Unity Missionary Baptist Church.
First of all, good morning to you all. Beautiful day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, in the almighty precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come this morning to see about the ways that you would have us to go. Thank you for these men and these women that are doing bills and doing things that will help us to live and have a better life in our communities and in our state. We thank you for the state of Wyoming. We thank you for the USA. We thank you for all the many ways you bless us in spite of ourselves. We ask now that you forgive us for sins of omission and commission, blot out our transgressions. Look beyond our many faults and see our needs. In the name of the Father, bless our family members near and far. Keep your arms around them. Keep them safe from danger seen and unseen. And then, O Lord, allow us to make the decision that will be honest and good for us and for all the people that is concerned. Lord, we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Like that the day goes smoothly, that all things be done decently and in order. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The reading clerk will read the journal report.
Your journal committee reports that the journal of February 4th, 2015 has been read and recommends that be approved. Signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
The doctor of the day is Dr. Gregory McHugh from Cody and Christina Beringer from Cheyenne, and the nurse of the day is Andrea Gold from Cheyenne. Please welcome them to the house. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 203, Livestock Brands, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yeagie, Larson, Lindholm, and McKim, signed by Representative McKim, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 216, Veterans Skilled Nursing Center, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, and Kasperic. Three no votes, Representatives Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, please do.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today is actually one of my favorite days of the session, one of my two favorite days. I'm glad to welcome our page for the day, Mead Stubson. Mead is a fifth grader at Fort Casper Academy. This is, I think, his fifth year of paging on the floor, so he's an expert in any task you have for him he will be able to do. And despite the fact that he is still mad at me for my vote against the Jackalope bill, he is excited to be here to watch you do your work today. So please welcome Mead.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, please.
And this is the first of two privileges I may need today. I would like to introduce from my hometown, Bighorn, fifth grade class, rotation one, the Bighorn Rams. Welcome. Stand up. Stand up. Welcome to the People's House.
Welcome to the House. Representative Escobel.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor, please.
Yes, please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, you have on your desk the Race for the Cure sign-up sheet. And the legislature's always had a team. And if you're ever up in room 302 and you look in the trophy cabinets, you can see some of the trophies we won as a team sponsor of the Race for the Cure. And then on the second page, you can see the fact sheets, how the money has been spent here in the state of Wyoming for breast cancer screenings. And for the new members who weren't here, was it 2 years ago, our minority, or our majority floor leader, donated her hair to the minority floor leader in a celebration of her survival. And in 2013, Mary was the New Balance survivor. And a lot of you don't know this, but my wife's also a survivor and was named the 2015 New Balance survivor. So we do raise money. Chairman Lockhart and I are the co-sponsors, co-chairs of the legislative team. And you can either, if you feel to fill us out and get it either to Chairman Lockhart or myself. You can see how the money is spent to a great cause, and we appreciate our four leaders. And Celebration of Hope is tomorrow, so you can wear whatever cancer survivorship color you feel you would like to support. So you'll notice tomorrow is kind of a different day in the legislature. It's called the Day of Hope.
Representative Freeman.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please.
Thank you. As you probably have guessed, I live for student achievement and student success, and I'm kind of fixated on that. And I'm also employed by some community colleges, and a long time ago we found out that it's a lot cheaper to keep students in the school than going out and recruiting new ones. So community colleges have done a lot of work to keep students in school, including relevant classes, schedules that fit their lifestyle and their needs, effective counseling, scholarships, and particularly clubs. It's a nice cheap way of keeping kids in schools. I am fortunate to be an advisor of the Association of Non-Traditional Students, and I would love to say that I volunteered for that, but to be very honest, I was drafted, and my drill sergeant keeps me going. I am very proud of this group. We have three members up in the South Gallery: Mindy Mays, Sandra Bonner, Pete Candelaria, and Dr. Stacy Lynch Newberg, also known as my drill sergeant. These guys do wonderful things. They raise money all the way through the school year, and they support each other. The money that they get, they give to other people. This is the first time that they've ever spent money on themselves in 6 years, coming down and seeing you. But they raise money for the Boys and Girls Clubs, the Big Brothers and Sisters. They go on a shopping spree for the local nursing home. I was there last December, and they decided that the gifts weren't big enough, so they actually dug into their reserves or their rainy day account, and they've helped with Cowboys Against Cancer. Some very outstanding young people. Please welcome to the House the Ants Club from Western Wyoming Community College.
We have some referrals. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just filling the bird feeder back here. I would like to re-refer House Bill 216 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill 216 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee number 2. Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Education Committee, number 4, wishes to re-refer House Bill number 11 directly to the Committee of the Whole.
House Bill 11 is referred directly to Committee of the Whole. With that order of business, the bill's on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 47. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 47 from Representative Hunt, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
House Bill 47, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 107. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 107 from Representative Wilson, an act relating to professions and occupations.
House Bill 107, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 118.
House Bill 118 from Representative Berger, an act relating to the Wyoming Community College Commission.
House Bill 118, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 138.
House Bill 138 from Representative Northrup, an act relating to workers' compensation.
There is an amendment. Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 138 and ask for your favorable consideration and would turn the explanation of the amendment over to Representative Northrup.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 138 is a friendly amendment. What has happened is that in House Bill, the new amendment, I forgot to add in the related service providers that work within that same group of people, and so that language has been added. And on line 20 of the original one, the word all has been deleted out of it. And so all education, that would require all educational services to be provided, because sometimes these particular group, the related service providers, which are PTs, OTs, physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech with therapists, work in separate rooms. It's a friendly amendment. I stand for questions. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 138. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 138 has passed. House Bill 138 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 143. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 143 from Representative Madden, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 143 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 149. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 149 from Representative Crone, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 149, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152 from Representative Madden, an act relating to impact assistant payments.
House Bill 152, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 183.
House Bill 183 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to insurance.
House Bill 183, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 186.
House Bill 186 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to human trafficking.
House Bill 186, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 192. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 192 from Representative Freeman, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program.
House Bill 192, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 193.
House Bill 193 from Representative Nicholas, an act relating to veterans.
House Bill 193, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 209. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 209 from Representative Miller, an act relating to public lands.
There are amendments. We'll take the amendments in the order numbered. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation. No. Okay, I just want to move amendment, second reading amendment number one to House Bill 209. Basically, as we learned from a previous bill, findings do not belong in the codified section of the bill, So all this amendment does is move the legislative findings from section from 3612201 on page 2 to section 3 on the last page of the bill, so that they will appear in the non-codified section of the bill. And if there are no questions, I urge your aye vote.
Discussion on the amendment. Question having been called, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 209. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 209 has passed. Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move second reading amendment to House Bill 209 and ask for its favorable consideration. All this does, on pages 9 and 10, there was the list of activities that we were going to consider uses for the land, and I just wanted to make sure that we specifically had hunting and fishing included, because I think we want to make sure that the intent of the bill is that we don't want to take anyone's hunting or fishing rights away, and we want to make sure that's preserved. That's all this does. I'd ask for an aye vote.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 209. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 209 has passed. House Bill 209 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 211. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 211 from Representative Pelkey, an act relating to criminal procedure.
House Bill 211, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 214. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 214 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to the practice of law.
House Bill 214, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225.
House Bill 225 from Representative Berger, an act relating to law enforcement.
House Bill 225, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 228.
House Bill 228 from Representative Greer, an act relating to real property.
House Bill 228, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 10. The reading clerk will read the resolution.
House Joint Resolution 10 from Representative Halverson, a joint resolution to memorialize the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta.
There is an amendment. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a slight amendment on page...
Representative Steinmetz, would you please move the amendment before you start?
Oh, excuse me, sir. I would like to move second reading amendment number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. And the amendment deals with page 4, line 3. All it does is just sends us to every school district and our superintendent so that our kids can see what we're doing and have the opportunity to celebrate with us. I would call for the question.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution 10. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution 10 has passed. House Joint Resolution 10, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 14. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File Number 14 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act.
Senate File 14, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move
third reading consent list of the bill, following bills. House Bill 77, 122, 126, 135, 136, 154, 155, 159, 172, 177, 180, 182, 215, House Joint Resolution 7.
Does anyone wish to have any of those bills removed from the consent list? Representative Winters.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to remove House Bill number 121 from the consent list.
121?
Would you please accept, Mr. Speaker, my humble apologies? That's the second time today I've made an error along those lines.
They're accepted.
Really good.
They're accepted with grace, Representative Winters. The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 77 from Representative Lindholm, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 122 from Representative Nicholas, an act relating to workers' compensation, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 126 from Representative Throne, an act relating to elections, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 135 from Representative Blackburn, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 136 from Representative Madden, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 154 from Representative Kirkbride, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 155 from Representative Kirkbride, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 159 from Representative Throne, an act relating to the separate statewide riding assessment, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 172 from Representative Kasparik, an act relating to motor vehicles and placards for vehicles driven by persons with disabilities, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 177 from Representative Burkhart, an act relating to the collection of debts due to the state or other governmental entities, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 180 from Representative Crone, an act relating to child protection, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 182 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to personal opportunity with employment responsibilities program, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 215 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to community juvenile services boards, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution 7 from Representative Burkhart, a joint resolution to the United States Secretary of Agriculture and the Chief of the United States Forest Service expressing support for the timely and scheduled completion of rare element resources be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride, Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey excused, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 77, are there any changes? Sponsor Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 122, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 126, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 135, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 136, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 154, are there any changes? Madden, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Pinnell, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 5 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 155, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 159, are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Are there any other changes to House Bill 159? Eklund, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Kasparic, aye to no. Are there any further changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 6 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 172, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 177, are there any changes? Esquivel, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Pipirinen, aye to no. Barlow, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 180, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 182, are there any changes? Eklund, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 215, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 7, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 77, 122, 126, 135, 136, 154, 155, 159, 172, 177, 180, 182, 215, and House Joint Resolution 7 have passed the House. We're at that order of business of bills on third and final reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 112. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 112 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to administration of government, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There are two amendments. We'll consider them in the order they're numbered. Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I wish to withdraw House Reading Number 3, Amendment Number 1.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 112 has been withdrawn. We are on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 112. Representative Gurr.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 112 and withdraw it at the proper time. I felt that it was worth our time to discuss this bill just a little bit more. The sponsor of the bill did such a wonderful job on Committee of the Whole, I just didn't want to get run over there by the steamroller. So let this cool and collect my thoughts. And I just want to make sure what we're looking at. For these construction grants, which are funded by basically the mineral severance funds, are given out by the SLIB board to help in a variety of situations. And it's a good program for our communities. And the bill, the law as it's drafted right now, has what we all affectionately refer to as a skin in the game component. And it's there for a reason. And we hear this all the time in almost all our programs, is we say, hey, we're just not going to give you money. You need to show us that you're working for it. Well, this amendment requires skin in the game. I'm not going to deny that. But it doesn't require the same skin in the game that the statute currently holds. And so if you look at this, what we have is a mechanism to be available for this. And I'll just talk about the municipalities. But the first step is you're automatically eligible if you'll impose, and keep in mind by our Constitution, municipalities can levy up to 8 mills. And so when we look at this, and I've tried to get my notes here together. But you have to oppose at least 7 mills, or 87.5% of the available mills authorized by the Constitution. Now, that's not being changed by this bill. Okay? So it goes on to say, well, if you don't do that, if you're not taxing your property owners to that extent, you're doing something less. For good cause, the board may make an exception for you. However, in order to qualify for that exemption, you have to at least impose 2 mills. And what this bill does is it removes that 2 mill requirement. And so that means that you don't have to tax your landowners at least 2 mills. Now, the sponsor of the bill did a wonderful job, and I understand. He said, look, hey, we're maxing out our sales tax. We've imposed fees for parking to deal with low-income housing, with all kinds of different things that makes the community that this affects a wonderful place. Now, I'm going to purport to you that I don't think imposing the sales tax is the same type of tax on the citizens of the area as a mill. And these numbers are going to vary from whomever you talk to, but we just, in my county that I represent, continued a general purpose tax. And the promotions on that were saying, hey, we ought to impose this sales tax because 67% of it's paid by people that come from outside of our county. That was one of their selling points. Well, the community from which the good sponsor comes from, beautiful place. I've never been there where the streets just aren't packed with different license plates from all over the United States and Canada and rental cars from people who have come in from all over the world. So I'll let you draw your own conclusions as to who's paying the sales tax there. This is a policy decision.
okay, and right or wrong, but my feeling is this statute's been in place. It requires to be eligible for this grant that you have to do what the other communities or most of the other, a large share of the other communities do, and that is tax yourself first. And I realize in this area, housing is outrageously expensive. But there's some trade-offs. You get this wonderful view all the time there. So I just needed to speak on this and draw your attention to it. I would, again, I'm going to withdraw this amendment, but I'll encourage you to vote no on this bill.
Representative Northrup, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would echo the same thoughts. I was trying to figure out how to get an amendment to make sure that the particular municipality, because of their location and all the benefits that have just been explained to you, that has some skin in the game. And I understand the fees, and I understand the sales tax, and I understand who pays for the sales tax. It's not the people that live there necessarily. It's the people that visit because of its high demand of visitation. So I also would urge you to vote no against this. They need to have more skin in the game. There has to be some way to be accountable, and thank you.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, and I appreciate the opportunity to get to stand up here again and make you feel really good about your I vote for this bill. If we truly believed in that skin in the game portion of it, then the amendment that should have come would have been on page 3, line 11. What we should have done was take out the line that said the State Loan and Investment Board may waive the taxation requirements imposed by this subsection for good cause shown as other funding sources. If we truly believed that everyone should have skin in the game in this way, we should have taken that section out and held everyone to the same standard. Because what we're doing now is we're saying, oh, everyone has to have skin in the game, except we're going to exempt you if you can show us you have skin in the game in another way. Oh, unless you're a municipality that charges 2 mils. And I'd like you to grab this sheet off of your desk, please, and if we could just really quickly go through this sheet, I think it illustrates it really well. For a county to qualify for these grants, you need to issue at least 11 mils or 91.67% of the authorized mill levy. Or, if you don't do that, you can just issue 0.5% of general purpose excise tax. Or, if you don't do that, you can issue 0.25% of SPET tax. Or, if you don't do any of those things, we'll look at anything else that you can bring to the table as income. So, in other words, all counties will consider anything. Next section, special districts or other lawful entities. You need to issue at least 80% of your authorized mills, or, if you don't do that, we'll consider any other income you bring to the table. So now counties, special districts, other lawful entities, you're all in. We'll look at anything. We're going to set this standard, but we'll look at anything if you don't meet that standard. Municipalities, you need to issue at least 7 mills or 87.5% of the authorized mill levy, or if you don't impose those, we'll consider other income. Except if you don't issue at least 2 mils. So now we've exempted everybody from this except one town and one city and two other towns, one with a population of 4 and one with a population of 15. We've really carved a specific community out of here for a specific reason. If we wanted to say you have to have skin in the game, then let's eliminate all these exemptions for everybody. Then we're all on the same page. We either all have to meet it or we all don't have to meet it. But now we're saying nobody has to meet it except this small group of people have to meet it. And so, you know, if this was the federal government saying that you have to issue income tax in order to qualify for FEMA funds, how would we feel about that? It'd be pretty easy to carve Wyoming out of those funds if you wanted to say, okay, you have to issue income tax. Now we're down to 7 states that don't qualify. If we just want to carve Wyoming out, we can say, well, or you have to issue more than 4% state sales tax. Now we're down to 3 states. If we want to carve Wyoming out, all we have to do is say, and and you have to charge sales tax on groceries. Now we're down to Wyoming. It doesn't take very much to carve a community out, and that was the intention of this original legislation in 1996. Of the over 2,000 grants that have been issued since that time, our community has been one of three small communities that have not been eligible, and all we're asking is to be on the same level playing field as every other community and being able to have other income considered. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Chairman Zwanister Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against amendment and for the bill, and perhaps it's because I've been on the Corporations Committee for 8 years, and those of you who've been on that committee, you realize there are about three counties in the state where they're just a little unique. I mean, quite honestly, there's some municipalities and some counties that we do a little extra work with to make things work in those places due to the population base, the tax base, et cetera. I just wanted to remind people, if you look to the bill on lines 11 through 13 on this page, it's still up to the State Loan and Investment Board. You know, and the wording currently in statute says the State Loan and Investment Board may waive the taxation requirements imposed by this subsection for good cause shown, such as other funding sources. And then there's this provision we put in the early 90s, which affects one town. And you heard the history of how this was put in an ice skating rink, which is lovely, by the way. But we've gone down this path before when you have certain counties coming and saying, oh, this county has it better than we have, and this city has it better than we have. And it's a dangerous discussion for us to start having on based on all sorts of factors and specifics of how certain cities and counties raise their revenue and where they're from, to start playing, oh, your county gets that and my county doesn't, and now I want to, you know, protest. And so what this bill does is just lift a restriction, the same requirement from the State Loan Investment Board. Our five statewide elected officials have to go through all of the other work. You know, they send it to state agencies for review and recommendations, and it already still allows them, for good causes shown, such as other funding sources. There's still protections. We're not just sending money, you know, to a certain county and opening up the floodgates here. Everything else is still pretty strict. It just takes off a restriction, which may or may, well, which has been unfair in my mind for 20 years. But I just wanted to remind people, if you read the bill, there's still a whole lot of other parameters, or what we call sideboards, I guess is a word this session, that are in place in this regard.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple points I'd like to make on this. One, getting back to the sales tax issue and the notion that because tourists in this case are paying a significant portion, that changes the nature of the tax. But the problem with that logic is that in this particular community, the tripling of the population for 4 to 5 months a year actually requires a huge expenditure to meet the demand that they create in terms of law enforcement, emergency services, parks and recreation, even the library is significantly impacted. So it's not exactly fair to say that because we're getting some sales tax revenue from these people, that's a free ride. My other comment would just be the purpose of these grants from the board in question, a lot of times is to deal with emergencies. And I don't think when a community has an emergency that is way beyond their capability of paying for, that there should be a punishment clause in the statute that says you may be having an emergency, but you are not allowed to apply for this money. I remain in favor of this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Baker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, I just find it a little ironic that we're here talking about skin in the game when we passed a bill last year for Buffalo Bill Labs that was having to do with these business-funded grants. And to me, it's kind of the same thing. You know, if we want to talk about skin in the game, that's what we should do. But, you know, I don't like carving out these exceptions, these communities. These are emergency grants, so I think we should move forward with the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. just sitting here thinking and trying to look at both sides, there is some adjustment given to this community. Because of their high cost of living, there are some special conditions where this place gets more money. And there, as I have watched the business council grants over the last few years, I think this one is carved out to get a pretty good supply of those. So I think there are some considerations that are given and maybe to offset this. So I'm thinking it's not all one-sided here. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor, Representative Northrup?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just point out on the handout that was in your inbox that it says, or if you don't impose these mills, the board can consider other income, excuse me. And this community's done that. They have done that. There's no need to pass a law that would change the way that it's structured right now. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor, Chairman Petroff?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'm actually not exactly sure what was meant by that comment, but I just wanted to make sure that that didn't confuse the issue that all of these ORs exempt out everybody from meeting these standards except municipalities who don't issue at least 2 mills. So it does exempt out any county. It exempts out any special district, any lawful entity from having to meet these standards. Again, if we wanted to make sure that these standards were going to be met, then let's eliminate the exemption for everybody. Thank you for your time, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Great discussion. That's why this wise body does a deletion of the enacting clause, so we can discuss these a little further. I could comment on a lot of different things, but I think what I want to say is we keep saying this is a carve-out or punishment. No, it's not. It's the rules. These are the rules for this grant. This is what they said. You are going to tax your property base at least 2 mills to even qualify for an exemption. Otherwise, you're going to tax yourself 7 mills. And so I drive through a lot of communities in this state, drive down Main Street. There are businesses that are closed up. There are vacant parking lots. The community that's asking for this, I've never been there where I can get a parking space, quite frankly. So I don't even know if that matters. You know, I probably shouldn't have said that because the fact is these are the rules that were set. You will tax yourself 2 mills to even qualify for the exemption. Otherwise, you'll tax yourself 7 mills for these monies. It wasn't a carve-out. These are the rules. Now, if you don't want to tax yourself, that's fine. That means you don't want to play. You don't want to get in the game. That's fine. That's your choice. You just don't qualify for these funds. So what we're saying now is we're going to come in because somebody feels like they've been carved out or punished, which they weren't, that we're going to change the rules. No, maybe they need to change what they want to do to be able to come and play. So, Mr. Speaker, thank you very much. I withdraw my amendment.
Third reading, amendment number 2 to House Bill 112 has been withdrawn. House Bill 112 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund. Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Lauchs,
aye.
Madden,
McKim,
Miller,
Moniz,
Nicholas, Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey excused. Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pennell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 38 aye, 21 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 112, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 12 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 121. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 121 from Representative Dan Larson, an act relating to administration of government, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill number 121, considering this morning's stellar record of speaking at the appropriate time on the appropriate bill. I'm a little bit fearful of delivering this to you, but really this is just a cleanup to House Bill number 121. And in speaking with our legislative service office, it became very apparent that in Wyoming statutes in the Green Book 2220, the 200 series here, which speaks to amendments to the Constitution of the United States, that there needed to be a little bit of clarifying language there, and that's all this bill does. It adds the words ratifying, or in some cases ratifying convention, throughout this particular statute, because that's exactly what's going on. There was a good question that was raised a couple times ago by one of the colleagues here on the floor, just asking for some clarification, and that's the nature of what I'm trying to do here with clarifying.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Larson, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. The sponsor considers this a favorable amendment. I do want to clarify I am on this amendment. They forgot a U in a name that sounds like mine. So to clarify that. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Winters? Are you on the right bill here?
Mr. Speaker, as far as I know, I am, and I just move for the call for the question.
Okay. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 121. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 121 has passed. House Bill 121, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup. Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey excused. Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters. Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 15 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 121, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 121 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 157. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 157 from Representative Harshman, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 157, and I'll explain my reasoning. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look at what this amendment does, all you need to do is go to page 2 of House Bill 157, and all it does is eliminate the first nine lines do. And, you know, there's probably no part of this bill that's really good, but the most, fiscally flippant part of this bill is this paragraph that I'm addressing here. And the thing is, you know, it looks like it's a moderate, small change, but what it is instead of 30 consecutive years, and then you walk in and get a free government fishing license, now all it says you have to be a resident a total of 30 years. So let's kind of talk about how nonsensical that is. We could have somebody that's, in the mineral industry or something, and they're moving in and out of Wyoming four or five times during their career. They might stay here 5 years and go away for 4 years, come back another 4 years, and so on. And but we're still saying if you got 30 years in, if you spent 30 years in Wyoming, you're entitled to a free license. And in the first place, there is no way to come up with a number of people that this would apply to. We, like I think I said on first reading, there's well over 100 people I know personally in my county. And I, if you extrapolate my county to the rest of the state, I always look at my county as being 2%. I'm basically a 2% county, 2% of the. So there's got to be thousands and thousands of people that would be eligible for this. And if they are eligible, then we get to the next issue here, and we've all heard the saying or the phrase, trust but verify. Okay? Well, there's no problem in being able to trust somebody if they come in and say they've been here off and on for 30 years in their lifetime, but there is no real practical way you can verify it. You can verify someone that's been here 30 years steady, if you wanted to, and I don't even know if they do, but at least you can. But this is just a can of worms that there's no way you could validate, no way you could audit, and no way, and most important, you don't know what the fiscal impacts are. If there's 10,000 or 25,000 people, pretty soon you're talking about a lot of money. The other nonsensical part of this is if this is allowed to stay in the bill, somebody that stayed here, that lived in Wyoming 29 years straight and turned 65, he's not eligible for this. But if somebody has been here off and on through their first 65 years, for 30 years, one more year, he is eligible. Now, to me, that doesn't make any sense. Now, the other thing, maybe I'll have to have a constitutional lawyer or something explain this to me, but if you look at Article 16, Section 6. Kind of listen carefully here. It says, neither the state or any county, city, township, town, school, district, or any other political subdivision shall loan or give its credit or make donations to or in aid of any individual. Now I'll go to page 2, line 2 of the bill, or line 1 and 2. The department shall issue without charge lifetime bird and small game and fish licenses to any resident or honorably discharged veteran who's over 65 and so on. So, ladies and gentlemen, what am I missing here? I mean, is there wiggle room as far as interpreting this, or isn't there? Now, the other paragraphs, to me they're not as important, I guess, just from the fiscal standpoint. I think we could probably agree that when we're talking about 50 years and 75 years old and so on, there's a finite number, but you really have no idea how many people that reach 65 can somehow track back in their personal lives where they've been here 65 years. The other thing is, there's no way you could verify that. I don't know if people would do that. The final thing I'm getting to is, in the first place, it's all kind of silly because these licenses don't cost that much money anyway. I mean, why, we don't have to have a system in place where we are challenging the validity of the Constitution so that we can give somebody, I think, a $25 free gift. Or I don't know what a small game license is, but a fishing license, I think I looked it up, and it was $25. And, you know, there could be, it just doesn't seem like it's worth it, and I'll quit and open the discussion. I know what's going to happen. We're going to talk about, well, of course it's not constitutional right now. Even the way it is, it's not constitutional, so why not, you know, add some more people to this unconstitutional giveaway program? And I just don't follow that logic. So I would urge you to adopt this and at least make the bill better than it was fiscally.
Chairman Swanser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For your first time.
I'm just slightly confused because we didn't actually really talk about the amendment at all. From what I have, the amendment talks about deleting fishing but leaving hunting in, and maybe if the good bringer of the amendment could talk specifically about why we're taking out the fishing part and the relevance and the fiscal impact of just that, instead of talking about the bill as a whole and why he may not like it. Thanks.
Chairman Miller, fishing for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to speak on this issue, but I heard my industry mentioned. I'm one of those people that moved out of the state, worked for the same company in Fremont County. They asked me, I've worked in Montana. I've worked in every western state and outside the country too, but always based in Wyoming. But one time we had projects in that state to the north of us, and they asked me to move up there. So I moved up there for 2 years. And then after a few years, they decided, well, we don't want to do that anymore, and they moved me back to this state. So I was out of the state for 2 years. So I spent my first 17, 18 years in Wyoming. I was out for 2 years, and then I came back, and I've been back here for, let's see, about 25 years now or so. Not maybe me. Let's see. Yeah, 25 years. No, 22 years. That's right. Anyway, it's somewhere in there. So, yeah, this affects me, so I guess I'm going to have to declare a conflict on this bill. You know, I'm sure there's others of us in the same boat, but, you know, maybe it's not just people in the mineral industry. Maybe it could be some professors at colleges that have a job here for a while, go to another university, have a job there, and then come back. So it would affect them, too. On and against the amendment for the bill.
Chairman Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, members, I don't think it's really, the money issue. And I think the good chairman of revenue, former professor, appreciate all that, all the conversation. But I think what you find in is really the strong focus on the fiscal aspect of it. And really, you know, right now a person can go in and just sign the affidavit saying they're eligible for it. So what we want to do is really kind of bring back some clarity to this and let folks, so they don't have to. I think the good representative from Sweetwater called it the amnesty bill. But it's interesting when we do things in game and fish. You know, we just passed a bill, I think, the sponsor of this amendment, $14,000 hit to the game and fish on interstate license tags. How, you know, I mean, so it's, I'm really focusing on a group of people that contacted me. It was it was about the elk hunting license, but really, I think it's more about what do we want to promote in this state for our seniors, and what kind of state do we want to have folks retire in and be a part of, and the kind of things we want to encourage. And so that's really what it's about. I don't think it's about a fiscal piece. I don't think it's about the constitutional issue. Certainly didn't even have fishing licenses when the Constitution was drafted or those things. Shoot, most of us, we poached deer up in this state through the 40s, 50s, and 60s, you know, and did all those things. And so, but I think it just really is a focus on kind of people who spend a majority of their life here. What kind of state do we want to have? What do we want to encourage them to do in their golden year? So, on and against. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. The question was why, first of all, the question on the fishing. The reason on in the amendment, on line four of the amendment, it says delete fishing, is that this paragraph is the only paragraph that addresses fishing. So if this were to, if this amendment should carry, and I sure hope it does carry, that it would be coherent with the rest of the bill. I guess, you know, another speaker said, well, I've been in and out of the state and I want to be eligible too, you know, and it almost harkens back to an earlier bill on third reading where he said, well, you know, we'd like to be included too, so change the rules. And that's really what we're talking about. You know, I've been in and out of the state, but I don't think that I'm entitled to ask for the rules to be changed to accommodate me. And again, you know, if you look at this and you can see a public need, if you can see a public good that can come from this, and you don't think that it's a constitutional question on this thing, and it really does amount to public assistance for the poor, you know, I think you would vote for it. But clearly this is just a giveaway program that's arbitrary and capricious, and I would ask you to support this amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 157. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 157 has failed. House Bill 157 having been read three short times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Berger. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Gagey.
Jennings.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey excused. Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 29 aye, 30 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 157, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 157 has failed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 181. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 181 from Representative Harshman, an act relating to speed limits, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Zwanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 181 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the body, this is not an attack on the bill itself. But what it does do, it puts some teeth into the fines when you go more than 80 miles an hour on the interstate. So as it's written, I believe what it would, just so you know, the fines would go this way. If you're caught going 81, you'd be charged $5. 82, you'd get charged $10. Now be aware, if you get pulled over at 82 and you're wearing your seatbelt, you get a $10 credit. So you break even. But if you go 83, it'll be 60, 84, 80, 85, 100. And then if you're going 86 or more, you get a $120 ticket plus court cost. And I bring this amendment just simply as a safety feature. As you remember, for those of you who were here in our last session, when we passed this 80-mile-an-hour speed limit, it was with the thought that 80 means 80. And as it stands now, you just get charged $5 not to exceed 25. So you can get zipping down the road and not get much of a fine. So we are wanting to put a little bit of a bite to it to discourage people for going more than that 80 mile an hour. And with that, I stand for questions.
Representative Croker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I actually really like this bill, but I don't like this amendment. I'll tell you why. I think the purpose of the bill was to make speeding consistent in the state. So if you were 5 miles an hour over in an 80-mile-an-hour zone, it was similar to 5 miles an hour over in a 75-mile-an-hour zone. And the reality is, if you're 5 miles an hour over in an 80-mile-an-hour zone, you're only exceeding the speed limit by 6.25%. Versus if you're 5 miles an hour in a small speed limit, you know, you can be exceeding the speed limit by 20%. So it almost seems like we ought to do the reverse. And if we're going to make the fines higher, make them higher when you're exceeding the speed limit by a higher percentage. So I think the original intent of the bill was fantastic, to make it consistent, where 5 miles an hour over is treated the same in all these different highway speeds. So I would encourage you to resist the amendment, but support the bill as it was written.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, appreciate the good chairman of transportation bringing it to discuss this, but really and I think the good speaker before me from the center of the state spoke to it well, it's really about consistency. And so now this would propose another tier of fines. And so what this would, in reality then, 5 miles an hour over under this amendment would be more expensive than 5 miles an hour over in a school zone. That'd be 65 in a school zone, or 5 miles an hour over in a construction zone. I don't think that's our intent to make. We want to have the kind of the fine and the penalty match the infraction. And I think we'd all agree 5 miles an hour over in a school zone or construction should be penalized higher than this. And so really it's about consistency, number one, on our highways. And then number two, I think, making it fit. This just adds more confusion to what we already have. So I think it would do damage to the bill, and I think create now another fourth kind of another area on our highway. So I think it's, I'd urge your defeat of the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Greer, for your first time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition of the amendment in favor of the bill, and that's, I saw this bill as bringing some consistency and uniformity to these laws, and I think the amendment goes against that. And then, you know, I don't have any clear recollection of ever going over the speed limit, but I know that I do not remember saying that 80 means 80 when we passed this out last year. So, anyway, I'm against this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. I rise in opposition to this amendment because I'll have to cut my vacation short and drive less.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Swanser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the discussion. But as people know that they're only going to get a $5 or $10 fine, and they're not going to write a ticket anyway for just a couple of miles over the speed limit with the seatbelt fact in mind. So I bring it just from the safety aspect, and it's only on the interstates, and I wasn't trying to relay it to any of the others. The bill is a good bill, without a doubt, no matter which way you vote on this amendment. But my main concern, and being on the committee and hearing testimony, is to maintain the safety on the highway. So vote your conscience.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 181. All in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 181 has failed. House Bill 181, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart. Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Freer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey, excused, Petroff, Piperinen, Pennell, Reeder, Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson, Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 181, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 181 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 198. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 198 from Representative Harshman. An act relating to compulsory attendance, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move floor amendment number one to House Bill 119. And basically on page two after line nine, we're just inserting some language that allows parents to exempt a child from compulsory attendance. And I'll let you read through that and not read the whole thing for you. And I don't know about all of you, but I really appreciate the good chairman's heart in bringing this bill. We could sure see his points, but my inbox is full of concerned parents about this bill, and even with this amendment, I'm not sure that I'll be able to support it. However, should it pass, I felt that this helped it out quite a bit, and so I stand for any questions or let you discuss the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Chairman Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I appreciate the bringer of the amendment. I think it was a friendly amendment. I don't think the intent of the bill I mean, as you read the amendment, these are parents who are taking good care of their kids and they've got a plan. This is not about that. This is really I'm going to support the amendment, and I think it makes the bill stronger because the real intent is for, as we talked about at length the other day in a good debate on Committee of the Whole, was really that rite of passage. You know, I'm going to quit school because I can. And it's not about the kid who absolutely won't come or all those other issues that we discussed in detail. So I consider it friendly, and I think it improves the bill. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess those comments, I have one question then, given this discussion. I had thought that I understood that even without this, if you have consental permission, if you sign off, you get out of the compulsory attendance requirements. And then as I look at this amendment, I'm just not sure it really adds anything if you can come in and, as a parent at any time, go ahead and exempt your child from the 16 and 17 or the 16 or 17 compulsory. So I guess if somebody can just explain that to me, because I had understood that you could, as a parent at any time, come in and sign off and exempt your child from compulsory requirements.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Steinmetz.
I don't know the answer to that question, but every once in a while we put things in a couple times, so thank you, and I call for the question.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 198. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 198 has passed. House Bill 198, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will read the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds. Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm. Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey excused. Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 26 aye, 33 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 198. Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 198 has failed to pass the House. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having voted on the prevailing side of House Bill 137, I move to reconsider the third reading vote on House Bill 137.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a time out here for just a second. This is a motion to reconsider a vote that we did yesterday. We're in Rule 12-11 of the Rules of the House of Representatives, if anyone cares to look at that. This motion does not require a second. There's no debate on the motion. We will immediately have a roll call vote. If that roll call vote is successful, in other words, if it passes, then that means the motion to reconsider has been adopted by the House, and we go back on the bill. There's no debate. We then vote on the bill immediately on a roll call vote, and it either votes up or down. And that is the and that concludes the process. Okay, is everybody with me? Okay. The motion for reconsideration of House Bill 137 having been made and found by the chair to be in order, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. No. Baker. No. Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay. Aye.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Krohn.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey excused. Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pennell.
No.
Breeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
Mr.
Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Petroff, no to aye. Berger, no to aye. Burkhart, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Moniz, no to aye. Are there further changes? Freeman, no to aye. Swanitzer Dan, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 28 aye, 31 no, 1 excused.
The motion for reconsideration of House Bill 137 has failed. Standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 158, Sexual Assault Custody Rights, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Esquivel, Halverson, Croker, Krohn, Miller, Pelkey, Pennell, Winters, one no vote, Representative Baker, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 243, Child Abuse, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Esquivel, Halverson, Croker, Krohn, Miller, Pelkey, Pennell, and Winter, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to who is referred House Bill 235, Foreign Business Entities-Reinstatement, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Paxton, Dan Swanitzer, one excuse, Representative Lindholm, signed by Representative Dan Swanitzer, Chairman.
Re-referrals. Chairman Swanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 235 got an appropriation put on it by the good speaker in committee this morning, and thus I need to re-refer it to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill 235 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. It's now that time for consideration of bills on general file. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, before I make the motion, I'm going to add a couple of bills and also just tell you our agenda, that we're doing such an efficient job that we will take a two-hour lunch hour today. So we'll just kind of get started. I wanted to give you some good news. It's Thursday. Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee of the Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the committee of the whole. And with that, our general file will be today House Bill 233. And you're going to have to write some of this down. House Bill 197, 212, 237, 210, and then insert House Bill 11, 243, 158, and 203. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Northrup.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. And the first bill for our consideration will be House Bill 233. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 233 from Representative Summers. An act relating to banks and banking, amending provisions related to the expiration and renewal of branch bank licenses, and providing for an effective date.
You've heard reading the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 233 do pass. There's no amendment, and I'll turn the explanation over to the good representative from, why don't I just take his name and put on there, or his number. I'm getting after it. Got it. He was on there a minute ago. There we go. 20. House District 20.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Fellow members of the 63rd, I bring you House Bill 233. This bill is an efficiency bill, both for banks and the division that oversees them. Bank branch license renewals are currently based upon the anniversary date of when the original license was issued. So renewals are continuous throughout the year. This proposed amendment is twofold. One, banks have expanded their branch networks over time, and they would like to renew all branch licenses at the same time to make their process more efficient. Under current law, they cannot do that and have to track the renewal of each branch throughout the year. This is an antiquated process. Number two, the Division of Banking has a new licensing database, and now has the capabilities to automate the process of bank branch license renewals to make it much more efficient on the division's end. The proposed amendment language is similar to other license renewal language and other acts that the division administers and is as follows. Let me walk you through the bill. We go into statute 13.2702, subsection G, and I'm just going to read you how it would read after the, if the statute were to be amended. Every branch bank in this state shall be licensed by the commissioner before operating, engaging in, or conducting a banking business. Each branch bank license shall expire on June 30th of each year. The license shall be renewed annually, not less than 30 days before the stated expiration date. And that's it in a nutshell, and I would stand for any questions. Thank you.
Question being called. All those are in favor of Representative Summers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole, Committee of the Whole rises report to do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 233 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 233 has passed. The next bill for consideration will be House Bill 197. Reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 197 from Representative Edmonds, an act relating to motor vehicles, expanding the definition of authorized emergency vehicles to include tow trucks and wreckers, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 197, Emergency Vehicles, Tow Trucks, and Wreckers, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Dave Swanager, signed by Dave Swanager, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Swanager?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that House Bill 197 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I will turn over the explanation of the amendment and the bill to the fine representative from here in the capital city, Representative Edmonds.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 63rd, this bill is a simple-to-understand bill and an easy bill to like, I believe. It simply expands the definition of tow trucks and wreckers to be authorized emergency vehicles. And there are some amendments on this that we've combined in the committee process that I'll also discuss because they changed the meaning of this. As we all know, when law enforcement or emergency vehicles are on the side of the highway, it is in statute that drivers should yield or slow down for safety reasons. And yet, in the definition of emergency vehicles, we don't have tow trucks and wreckers. The personnel who do this are out there every day, just like law enforcement. They're often there by themselves. They haven't had this added protection, so this just expands the law to give them that protection. The problem is getting it not to do anything unintended, so the amendments are simply to specify what is and is not covered in statute. So it got more complicated than it seemed at first, but in brief, the definition has been changed. Authorized emergency vehicles now includes wrecker or tow truck equipped with a mechanical apparatus designed to hoist, pull, or otherwise move wrecked, disabled, or stalled motor vehicles. Now, this only applies when they're at the scene. They will be stopped, and they will have to have the required emergency lighting. And this is where it gets a little tricky. We don't want to have them impersonate law enforcement, so we've got... That's what the amendment addresses, and it's a little bit backwards. I'll start with the end. The first part of the amendment actually is at the end of the bill, and this refers to the lighting. Originally, we had that it was including four colors of lighting, but we really only need them to have red and blue flashing lighting, which is visible 500 feet in front or in back of the vehicle. Other types of lights, white or amber, is not required. It's allowed, but it's not required. So we wanted to get that to the bare minimum. They do have to have the type of lighting in the amendment. The other part of the amendment is that we don't want to give them the privileges of law enforcement to break the speed limit en route to the call, or to run red lights or stop signs. And so the lower portion of this amendment in 31-5106 just restricts those, that's the Romanet 2 and 3 in there, that they cannot do those things. So again, for the safety of the drivers and operators of those vehicles, tow trucks and wreckers, and anyone else who happens to be around there, this is a safety measure. And the amendment lays out what they can and can't do. So I stand for questions.
Question being called on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We pass the amendment.
And really, the amendment, Mr. Chairman, covered everything in the bill. As you can see, it's a safety measure. It's I've seen statistics where there's a higher casualty rate of injuries and deaths of these drivers compared to law enforcement. And since they overlap quite a bit and they're by themselves, this is just a simple safety measure. No fiscal impact, but definitely a real-life safety impact. So I would appreciate your vote.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Wanter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so to recommend with the recommendation that Bill number 197 do pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 197 has passed. The next bill for our consideration. Thank you. The next bill for our consideration will be House Bill 212.
House Bill 212 from Representative Lloyd Larson, an act relating to workers' compensation, authorizing the division to determine the chargeability of claimed costs to an employer's experience rating and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman of Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 212, Workers' Compensation-Claim Apportionment, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 212 do pass. I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I'll turn the explanation over to the good representative from House District 54.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In body, if I could, I'd like to just have to go through the Standing Committee amendment, if I may, first. And what it does is on page 2, it just changes, makes the definition a little more clear. On line 12, when it talks about chargeability for an injury, we have currently in there to one of the employer's employees, and we would like to scratch on line 12, one of the, and insert and, where it would read, chargeability for an injury to an employer's employee. An employee, you'll scratch employees on line 13 and just put employee, which will include both singular and plural. And then on line 15, starting with the sentence, if the division determines that, we will insert 51% or more of an employee's injury was caused by a third party, the claim cost shall not be charged to the employer's experience and rating. And that is just to help the division determine what percentage of the injury needs to be considered. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would answer any questions or call for the question.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question, because usually the workers' comp bills come through the Labor Committee, and I know we've been working on a lot of these issues for the last several years. If the bringer of the bill could just clarify how this fits in with the planned changes of the department as far as workers' compensation overall.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
I think that I can get that explanation clarified more as I go through the bill and help tie that in, because the good representative from here in Cheyenne is correct. We've had a lot of work that we've done on workers' compensation, and I think it would be easier to make that explanation when we work the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Larson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to support, do so. Whoops, I was ahead of my times. That all those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against it, say no. Back on the bill, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now to answer that question and explain the bill, just a little bit of history is that we've worked a lot in labor and health on the modification rating system that is going to be coming into place for employers to determine their experience rating. In that discussion over the last couple of sessions, one of the problems that you run into is we will be addressing incident rating or frequency of incidents and the rating that goes along with that. But one of the problems that we don't address or haven't been able to address is how that incident is, or who that incident is attributable to. And the reason that's important is because over the last probably 10 years, as we put an emphasis as a state on safety in the workplace, companies who hire vendors or go into contract with vendors are increasingly making safety an important part of them being able to work through them and enter into a master service agreement. So when you go into that negotiation as a vendor with a company to have a master service agreement, one of the things they want to know is your experience rating with workers' compensation and your OSHA 300 bill. So they want to know what kind of accidents you have because they want a safe company as one of their vendors. The problem is sometimes you may have an incident where your employee is hurt, but it was no fault of the employee or your company's, but you will still be assessed and charged on your rating, and it will reflect that you've had an incident and can be very detrimental in your ability to enter into that master service agreement. An example may be if you had an employee who was driving home from a workplace in a company vehicle, and at the intersection, a gender-neutral individual ran through the light and T-boned your employee, and your employee was hurt. Those injuries to your employee are going to be attributed to your workers' compensation. He had his seatbelt on. He was doing everything that he was supposed to do. The other gender-neutral person that ran the light hit him as at fault. Well, that could reflect, if you had a company looking at signing a master service agreement, that they may look at that and say, you know, that employee had a lost time record. You know, he was out of work for 2 weeks because of this injury, and they may not let you enter to that master service agreement. So what this bill does is it allows you to, and as it says there, starting in the new language, an employer may apply to the division for a determination of an experience rating chargeability for an injury to an employer's employee, and the division's determination of chargeability shall be reviewable as provided in 27.14.601, and that section 27 is where the division looks at approving payment or denial of a claim, and then that K is the determination in Roman at 1 gives the division the authority to have rules and regulations and procedures for the review. Romanent 3 is the notice and the right of the hearing back to the employer, and Romanent 5 is notification to the employer that he may request the hearing. And then if the division, upon following all those statutes, determines that 51% or more of the injury caused to your employee was caused by a third party, that net claim costs shall not be charged to the employer's experience rating, which would be very helpful and very beneficial to those people that are working on these master service agreements. One of the questions that comes up, though, so if it was some elderly person that run the light and they're not an employer, so then who would pay for the injuries? That would be absorbed spread throughout the industry with the in that workers' compensation plan. If it was, if you was on a job site and it was actually attributable to another employer, then that employer would have to, that injury would be assessed to their employee rating.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a series of questions, but I need the answer to one first, which is, what is the definition of a third party?
Representative Larson.
A third party would be considered as the division has used it, as someone other than the employer.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a considerable amount of problems with this bill. What we've done is we're asking the department to decide on contributory negligence, in effect. They have to rule that the accident was caused by someone else. Our workers' compensation process is a no-fault process. Over the years, what we've done is said the employers pay in, regardless of the cause of the accident, if it's to an employee working for them in the course of their employment, workers' comp pays. Out of that, the employers avoid being sued for every accident that occurs. What this is saying is that you can now open this up in the area of experience modification and the modifiers to say that the department has to decide that someone was at least 51% responsible for the accident and make a ruling on that. In effect, this is the camel's nose under the tent to go back and now say employers aren't responsible for their employees' injuries and that workers' comp is eventually going to go away. I really don't like this approach. If we want to look at the workers' comp laws, we need to do it a lot more than through what appears to be one small bill. This would involve a major change, and although we're talking about experience modification rates and applying for other jobs, businesses do have the obligation to keep their own people safe. I could read third party in here eventually to meet other employees. So I would exercise a lot of caution on this bill, and I am a no on the bill.
Representative Larson.
Appreciate the comments from the good former safety supervisor, and who really does understand workers' compensation. The need for this change has really evolved over the years as we've approached safety issues, and the discussion that we've had with the division addressed that very point. If we'd done this, would it then allow for suits, does it take away that no-fault aspect of our workers' compensation? And they've assured me that indeed it does not.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate this bill coming forth, and I know there is a considerable need to maybe have this addressed, but I would argue that the title of the bill, Claim Apportionment, is not what's going on here. What we're doing is we're actually assigning this claimability to one party or another. It was basically at 100%. Now we've moved to 51%. So there is no apportionment going on here. This is an assignment in this bank. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have concerns about this approach as well. Thank you.
Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to speak a minute to the implications on what's called the grand bargain, which is you surrender any rights you have to make claims against your employer, and as a result, you get workers' compensation, essentially no questions asked, regardless of your own fault or whoever else's fault. And this really, this does not have any impact on that. That's a constitutional principle that we find embodied in our workers' compensation system. And so remember what we're talking about here, and I think there's room for discussion about whether you want this to be 51% or more, or if you want it to be an injury caused entirely by a third party. We can have that discussion, but this I mean, this is just about your experience rating. So this is how your rates are calculated. When they go through and do your experience rating, they look at all your injuries, and this will be merely one injury that doesn't count against that if it's a third party's fault. So, I think there's valid concerns about this. But that shouldn't be one, because that really is something that's protected under the Constitution, and this really can't be a slippery slope towards, because we have that embodied there.
Representative Parnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you answered the question there. Because my question on this is, with these worker comp claims on that, then in this particular incident where somebody else caused the accident, that wouldn't go against the rating of the company, and they wouldn't get an increase in their workers' comp price, correct?
Representative Larson?
That is correct.
I'm in favor of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good discussions. Let's recall that we've also changed the band from 65 to 85. This bill has 85. We actually have a bill that we've passed out of this body that went to 85%. So we have changed that. There's also two components that are being done through the division that will change this system as well. So, folks, this is not just one thing happening in one place. This is a part of other things that are going on in a continuum of changes. So I understand that this probably needs to be looked at. I hope that we can maybe take a step back and look at it more holistically. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we had the discussion of this in the Minerals Committee, it looked like a clear example of why should, under certain circumstances, somebody's rating as to safety be damaged if it was caused by somebody and they were just innocent. And I don't think we want that. And the penalties go to a company that is trying to get a job done and that kind of thing, and is not responsible for the accident. And so I think it's a good bill. It may not be perfect yet, but I think it's one we want to pass, and if we need to make some amendments, that could happen. I'm not sure that they are needed.
Question being called. Thank you. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with House Bill 212. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
House Bill 212 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Northrup. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
Thank you. We need to call for committee announcements. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will not meet at noon today to consider House Bills 222 and 230. Instead, committee number one will meet tomorrow at 9 a.m. to consider House Bills 222 and 230.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Revenue number three will be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the usual room, and we're going to have two bills, House Bill 244, Severance Tax Distribution Amendments, and House Bill 185, Severance Tax Distributions. And please note that the order of these two is going to switch from what you see on the announcement sheet.
Chairman Swanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in about 5 minutes in room 302 to hear architect in-state residency definitions. You're all invited.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House committee number two will meet upon noon recess to hear House Bill 163, Critical Access Hospital Endowment Challenge Program. And we had two re-referred bills this morning. We will take up those bills, House Bill 235, Foreign Business Entities Reinstatement, and House Bill 216, Veteran Skilled Nursing Center. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room H18 to consider four bills, House Bill 176, House Bill 236, House Bill 224, and House Bill 229.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow, Friday, February 6th at 8 a.m. in room H10 to hear the following bills, House Bill 208, Hard-to-Draw Hunting Licenses, and House Bill 175, Determination of Lottery Proceeds.
Vice Chairman Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, will meet today, 10 minutes after adjournment, to consider the following bills. House Bill 241, Electronic Driver's License. House Bill 223, YDOT General Fund Budget Requests.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee on Education number 4 will meet Friday at 15 minutes after recess to consider House Bill number 231, Hathaway Scholarship Exceptions from Requirements and Civics Proficiency Examination, House Bill 196. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. The Committee of the Whole will rise and sit again at 2 o'clock.